Will you look with me, please, at that psalm we read together, Psalm 8. Particularly, verse 3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? I wonder how you react when you look at the sky on a clear, bright night and see the moon and the stars. Just over a week ago, Margaret and I were on the border of North Kenya and South Sudan, very remote, barren, arid area, not much food. But one of the delights is to take a walk around the mission compound late at night and to gaze up into a perfectly clear tropical sky and to see the array of stars and the wonderful moon. That is an amazing sight. How do you react when you see a sight like that? More importantly, how did David react when he saw a sight like that? As a shepherd looking after his sheep, David would often have gazed up into the night sky and seen the moon and the stars shining brightly. How did he react? What impact did that make upon him? He tells us in verse 8. He tells us it made him think. You have that in verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. That was his reaction. He considered the moon and the stars. He thought about them. He asked some questions as he saw the brilliant night sky. And we should do the same. When we see the wonders of nature, when we look up and see the moon and the stars, we should think deeply. We should consider. We shouldn't just take a quick look and say how nice and pass on. We shouldn't see a beautiful scene of mountains and rivers, take a quick photograph and walk on. We should consider and think hard. And here's the first question to consider. Who made the heavens? Who made the sun, the moon, and the stars? Many people gaze into the heavens and talk about the sky at night, and yet never really ask that question. They never really think about it. Sometimes they don't think at all. At other times they give a ridiculous answer. They say it all happened by chance. They say at one time in the distant past there was a big bang, and hey presto, sun, moon, and stars appeared. And they never stop to ask, who made the thing that made the Big Bang? It was all fortuitous. It was all a matter of accident and chance. David doesn't go down that line. When he looked up at the heavens and saw the moon and the stars, he considered, he thought, he recognized that they were created by God. What he says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. He recognized that God had created these things. Indeed, that is how the Bible starts. In the beginning, Genesis 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That is the teaching of the Bible from cover to cover. Genesis 1 verse 16. God made two great lights. The greater light, the sun to govern the day, and the lesser light, the moon, to govern the night. He also made the stars and set them in the sky to give light on the earth. And God saw that it was good. You say, well, I don't really believe such nonsense. Richard Dawkins doesn't believe it, nor do I. But tell me, my friend, were you there? When it actually happened? Was Richard Dawkins there? How do you know? that is nonsense. Where do you get that from? David, who thought about these things, says, when I consider your heavens, the sun, the moon, and the stars, which you set in place, I recognize, O God, that you are the creator of all things. And these things are made with such precision. You know, if the earth were just a bit nearer to the sun, we'd all be burned alive. If the earth were just a fraction more distant from the sun, we'd all freeze to death. God's perfect design, the sun, the earth, everything in perfect position. But he also made the animals. Verse 6 of the psalm, David says, you made man, we'll come to that in a moment, you made man ruler over the works of your hands. What works? Well, he goes on, all flocks and herds, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, all that swim in the paths of the sea, God made them all. The idea that they've come about through evolution, through millions of random mutations down through the centuries, is quite foreign to the Bible. Fish and birds and animals are the work of Almighty God. It's His creation. That's the first thing to consider when you look at the night sky. Who made all this? Did it really just happen? Who made all this? Consider that. David says, Lord, you made it. You're the creator. Here's another thing to consider. As you look at the splendor of the heavens and the beauty of the earth, not only who made all this, but what kind of God made all this? What kind of God made all this? Is he a little God? Is he a weak God? Is he a cruel God? Is he a God we can ignore? Who? What kind of God made the sun, the moon, and the stars? David says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And he says it again at the end of the psalm, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And the majestic, the word majestic, speaks of the power of God. He just spoke the word and the heavens were made. That's what we're told in Psalm 33. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host, by the breath of his mouth. God said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let the earth produce vegetation, and it produced vegetation. The power of God. He just says the word, and it happens. How majestic is your name in all the earth. But then this word majestic speaks of the glory of God. David refers to that in verse 1. You have set your glory above the heavens. The heavens are glorious, aren't they? The light of the sun, the light of the moon, the light of the stars, glorious. But says David to God, you've set your glory above the heavens. God is more glorious than anything we can imagine. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Think of all the beautiful flowers God has created. Think of the trees and plants. Think of birds of paradise. Think of tropical fish. Think of a thoroughbred horse. Think of a magnificent giraffe with its head held high. Think of the variation and the color in God's creation. Think of the beauty and the glory. Well, God's glory and majesty is above all of that. He is so great. Then this word majestic also speaks of the love and kindness of God. Did you realize that God has given us this beautiful creation for our enjoyment? He has created it for his glory, yes. But he's also created that for our enjoyment. God gives us richly all things to enjoy. So this creation speaks of God's love and mercy. Do you see what I'm saying? What kind of God made the sun, the moon, the stars? A little God? No, a glorious God. A majestic God. An awesome God. We stand in awe of him. He just spoke and the stars came into place. That's the second thing to consider. Who made all of this? What kind of God made all of this? Here's the third thing we should consider as we look at the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars. That is, what am I? What is a human being like me in the light of all this? What am I? What is a human being in the light of God's vast creation? Here are the vast heavens made by God. The moon, 235,000 miles away. The sun, 92.9 million miles away. Its diameter, 108 times larger than the diameter of the Earth. The stars, the nearest star, 4 light years away. All those trillions of miles. I don't know about you, but in the light of all that, the vastness and the glory of the universe, I just think, well, what am I compared with all of that? And David asked that question. When I consider the moon and the stars, the sun, the work of your hands, what is man? What is man that you're mindful of him? Have you really thought about that? In the light of this vast universe, who are you? Who am I? Well, first of all, David says, we too were created by God. That's what David says here in verse 5. You made him. God made him. God made man as man. God made woman as woman. Genesis 1 verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. So God created man in his own image, male and female. He created them. God made man as man, made woman as woman. I used to say, but my teacher at school, my lecturer at university, David Attenborough on television, they all say that we evolved from the animals. Well, I know that. But they were not there, were they? They were not there. How do they know? I prefer to listen to someone who was there at creation. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was there. He was there in the beginning with God when God created the heavens and the earth. He shared with God the glory of creating this universe. And Jesus says, Matthew 19 verse 4, have you not read that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female. At the beginning, not after millions of years, but at the beginning, God made them male and female. That's what the Son of God says about human beings. We were created by Almighty God. And we were created in the image of God, with the ability to think and reason, with the ability to make moral judgments, with the ability to discern right and wrong. Many people today seem to rejoice in the fact that they were once more or less like animals, monkeys, swinging from tree to tree. But that's an insult to the human race. We were created by God. And we were created in the image of God. We were created to live for God and to love God. Listen to what David says here. David says, you made him, you made man, that is, you made him just a little lower than the angels. God created men and women with dignity. God created men and women in his own likeness, with the ability to make moral judgments, with the ability to know right from wrong, with the ability to reason and to think and discuss. Animals are not like that. You never see a herd of cows standing in a field having a discussion, do you? But you see groups of men and women meeting together, thinking together, reasoning together, making judgments together. We've been made in the image and likeness of God. And God made man to be ruler over the animal kingdom. David says, "You, O Lord, crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the rest of your creation, over all flocks and herds and beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea." Remember what we're told in the first book of the Bible, Genesis 2, verse 19. The Lord God formed man out of the ground. The Lord God formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. God made man just a little lower than the angels, crowned him with glory and honor, made him the ruler over the animal kingdom. Let's be clear. That does not mean that man can be cruel to animals. That does not mean that man can abuse animals and treat them abominably. That does not mean that he can shoot elephants to extinction to get their ivory. It doesn't mean that at all. Originally, God created man with glory and honor and dignity, just a little lower than the angels. And occasionally, we still get glimpses of that. Although this world has fallen into sin, we still get glimpses of that. Think of an artist like John Constable painting beautiful pictures. Think of an architect like Sir Christopher Wren designing magnificent buildings. Think of Beethoven composing exquisite music. Think of a brain surgeon doing the most intricate brain surgery. Think of a carpenter making the most beautiful furniture. Think of a rider on a horse, an equestrian event. Man and beast in perfect harmony. There you are seeing something of the original glory of God's creation. God crowned man with glory and honor and made him ruler over the animal kingdom. That's the third question that we should ask when we look at the sun, moon, the stars. Who am I in the light of this vast universe? When I see the sun and the moon and the stars in all their vastness, who am I, a little individual? I'll tell you who you are, my friend. You're created by God. And you were created to serve God. And you were created to love God. And you were created with dignity. And you were created to worship God. You were made just a little bit lower than the angels. You were made in the image and likeness of God. That leads us on to another important question to consider. That is this. Why then is this world in such a mess? We're bound to ask that question, aren't we? We look at the heavens above and marvel at their splendor. We realize they were created by God. We look at the earth around us and marvel at its beauty and realize that it too was created by God. We look at men and women and marvel at their abilities and gifts and talents and achievements and realize that they too were created by God. But then we see another side. Every day of our lives, we see, we hear of things which horrify us. We turn on the news and we see carnage and bloodshed in Syria and Iraq. We see terrible intertribal warfare in South Sudan. We see poor women shackled in chains because they profess to be Christians. We see people in the West struggling out of supermarkets with trolleys crammed full of food, half of which will be wasted. Or many, many millions of the world starve. We hear of the wife of a president who's got thousands of pairs of shoes, when some kids in India have never had a pair of shoes in their lives. We see fashion idols with lorry loads of clothes, when some people that I met just a week ago are dressed in stinking rags, more holes than material. What's gone wrong? Why is this world in such a mess? Or to put the problem another way, how do you explain the great contradictions in men and women? Here's a great musician composing the most majestic music, but his personal life is a total mess, and he dies of a sexually transmitted disease. Here's a footballer of the year maybe, amazing skill on the football field, his athleticism, his fitness, the skill on the field is amazing. Yet he achieves notoriety by biting a fellow player. How do you explain that? This contradiction. Or take another case. In June this year, Margaret and I were in South Africa celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary. And on Sunday, on the way to church there in Cape Town, we passed the Groot Schuur Hospital. Something amazing happened there on the 2nd of December, 1967. A brilliant surgeon performed the first ever heart transplant. He took the heart from a young woman who'd been killed in a car accident and implanted it into a man who was in the last stages of heart failure. A brilliant surgeon who'd been brought up in absolute poverty, but had reached the top of the medical profession. A genius. Amazing. Astounding. But the man's personal life was a total disaster. He ditched his wife after 22 years and married a teenager. He ditched her and married another flighty teenager. Then he ditched her. A life of endless affairs. They nicknamed him the Doctor of Broken Hearts. How do you explain that? Brilliant surgeon, but his life a personal mess. He's a shepherd looking after his sheep with great care. He's a farmer looking after his herd of prize cows with great affection. He knows them all by name. A wonderful picture of God's original intention that man should be a ruler over his animal kingdom. But just down the road, there's a man whose animals are starving and stinking because of neglect. How do you explain that? The contradictions in society. Or to bring it home personally, how do you explain the failures in your own life? How do I explain the failures in my own life? We've been made by God. We are part of God's creation. We were made in the image of God, in the likeness of God. How do you explain your failures? You say, what do I mean? What do you mean? I'm a decent fellow. I'm not like that famous surgeon. I haven't had several affairs. I'm a decent sort of fellow. Have you never been proud? Have you never been jealous? Have you never been greedy? Have you never lost your temper? How do you explain all of that? You are made perfect by God. But so often, you fall into sin, and so do I. How do you explain that? Now, the Bible explains all of that by saying that this original man, perfect man and woman, which God created, Adam and Eve, rebelled against him. Instead of being content to be a little lower than the angels, Adam and Eve wanted to be equal with God. They rebelled against God. They disobeyed God. They sinned against God. They disobeyed his laws. They went their own way. They did their own thing. It was calamitous. That brought terrible trouble on the whole human race. And ever since, every man and woman who's ever lived has been rebelling against God and sinning against God. That's the reason why this world is in a mess. If every man and woman obeyed the Ten Commandments, if every man and woman loved God with all their heart and soul and mind and strength, and their neighbor as themselves, if every man and woman in this world obeyed the law of God, this world would be perfect. No war in Syria. No carnage in Iraq. No bitter, terrible persecution in Korea. No little children breaking their hearts because mother or father have played off on somebody else. No broken-hearted wives because they've been deserted by their husbands. No shattered husbands because they've been deserted by their wives. If every man and woman obeyed the word of God, this world would be perfect. But sadly, this world is in a mess because men and women, you and I, have rebelled against God and sinned against him and disobeyed his word. That's the great problem. You doubt that? Do you say, well, I'm okay, I'm not a sinner, you mustn't call me a sinner? Unfortunately, the screen has broken down. But suppose we could display on that screen a video of everything that you've ever done in your life. Would you want that? I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want you to see a video of everything I've done in my life. And suppose we had an audio recording of everything that you'd ever said, even those things you've muttered under your breath when you thought no one was listening. Would you want that audio played to this congregation? Of course not. Why not? Because we all know that we've sinned against God. We all know that we've done things of which we're ashamed. We all know that we've said things we should never have said. And that is why this world is in such a mess. Made perfect by God. Man made in God's image and likeness. And you see traces of that still in this world. But you also see the ravages of sin. You see, this psalm tells us we should look into the heavens and see the sun and the moon and the stars and think, consider, who made all of this? What kind of God made all of this? What am I in the light of all this? If God made it all perfect, why then is the world in such a mess? And that leads us on to our fifth and final question, and in many ways the most important. What is God's reaction? What is God's response to all of this? This is surely the obvious question to answer. God made this world perfect. God made men and women perfect. But they've sinned against him. And they rebelled against him. And because of their rebellion, we see the carnage in the world at the present time. And all the sickness and all the trouble. What is God's reaction to this? I tell you what my reaction would be. I would write men and women off. I would say, if I were God, look, I made you perfect. I gave you a wonderful world to live in. I gave you so many beautiful things to see. I've been so kind to you, so good to you, and you've turned your backs upon me, and you've rebelled against me, and you've hated me, and you've ignored me. I finished with you. That's how I would react. But I'm a terrible sinner. How did God react? Well, listen to this. I'm about to quote two of the most amazing verses in the Old Testament. Psalm 8, verses 4 and 5. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you're mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? This great God who made all of this is mindful of us. We've sinned against him. We've rebelled against him. We've ignored him. We've turned our backs upon him. But he is still mindful of us. He still thinks about us. He cares for us. It's a wonderful children's hymn which goes like this. God who made the earth, the air, the sky, the sea, who gave the light its birth, careth for me. God who made the sun, the moon, the stars, is he who, when life's clouds come on, careth for me. God still cares for us. He gives us our daily food. He gives us our clothing. He gives us our shelter. He gives us loved ones to care for us. He gives us the joys of family life. God cares for us. He's mindful of us. In a word, he loves us. I go further. Here's the most amazing thing you could ever hear. He actually sent his son into this world to die for us. Psalm 8, verse 4, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? God, in the person of his son, has visited this world. God, in the person of his son, has visited this world in which we live. He's come here. Why did he come here? He came to this world to die upon the cross to deal with our sin. God sent his own son into this world. He visited this world in the person of his son. When Jesus Christ came to this world, he went to the cross, as we heard this morning, and he died upon the cross to bear the punishment of our sins, so that we might be forgiven. God so loved the world. This world that he made so perfectly. This world which has been marred and blighted by man's sin. This world which has become a world of war and carnage because of man's sin and greed and selfishness. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So I close with this. What is your response to all of this? The God who creates, the great and mighty God, the God who created you just a little lower than the angels, the God who created you in his own image after his own likeness, the God who cares for you, even though you've sinned against him terribly and ignored him for most of your life, maybe. The God who visited this world, sent his son to die upon the cross. What is your response? Well, there's only one response, and that is to thank him, to praise him, to ask him to save you and make you his child. Confess to him that you've ignored him so often, that you've turned your back upon the great creator of the universe. Confess that to him. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to pardon all your sins. Ask him to make you his child, to save you from hell, and to give you eternal life in heaven. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed, then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art. And when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Are you doing that? Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art.